Herndon Sabor Steele, and this is the Prison to Purpose podcast. We believe your past doesn't have to define your purpose. Whether you're a young person trying to make a better decision, a returning citizen looking for hope, or someone who believes every life has value, you are welcome here. This isn't about glorifying prison. It's about showing that every setback can become the foundation for a greater purpose. Transformation is possible.
These episodes are sponsored by Coach Tony Beattie and Dreammakers Elite Fitness. You can hit us up on IG, Dreammakers Elite Fitness Studio. You hit us up on the website, dreammakerselitefitness.com, and you can email us at dreammakerselites with an S at gmail.com. We're very accessible. I'm open. You can DM me. Open to speak to anyone and try to get your kids to us. It's the Dreammakers Elite Fitness is the very best training facility to get the best results. Bottom line, we train through love.
Hey, welcome to the Prison of Purpose podcast, where we explore stories of transformation, leadership, and hope. Today, we're joined by a youth coach who understands that coaching isn't just about wins and losses. It's about shaping lives. And I feel like I'm doing this guy a great disservice by just referring to him as a youth coach. And when I explain all the things that this man has did, you'll understand exactly why. In 1992, West Philadelphia Panthers, a young coach steps onto a youth football field with the Panthers, the Roadrunners, the Southwest Ravens. And he doesn't yet know that he's just stepped into his life's calling. He got to the Overbrook Monarchs and found a losing organization. Now, understand what that means. A program with no winning tradition, no expectation of anything better. He built the first winning team the Monarchs had ever seen. And it didn't stop when he left. What he started became a football powerhouse in that neighborhood for the next two decades. Kids who came up after him grew up believing they could win because he showed them how. Now, that's not a resume. That's a man who could not stay in one place long enough for a losing culture to survive him. But he kept going. He became defensive line coach at West Catholic, then Chester High, one of the toughest sidelines in Pennsylvania, where this man did the hard, unglamorous work of building boys into men. And he moved on to Monsignor Bonner and Archbishop Pendergrass, a program that had won exactly one game the year he arrived. And what followed wasn't luck. What followed was city titles, a Catholic League championship, and in 2024, the first state football championship in that school's history. He was in the trenches for every bit of it. But here's what the box score never shows you. In the middle of all that football, this man was also working inside the Philadelphia School District as a student advisor in the district's toughest turnaround schools. Not drills, not playbooks, but rather attendance, truancy, IEP meetings, home visits, walking into a family's living room to find a kid who stopped showing up and bringing him back. Now, that's not coaching. That's called rescue work. And for 14 years now, he's poured every bit of that, the football mind, the mentor's heart, to truancy officer's relentlessness, and to something he built with his own two hands, Dreammakers Elite Fitness, a 10,000-square-foot temple to discipline. Nearly 300 young people sit on the college on scholarships. Right now, under his hand, this man has the number two edge rusher in this nation. Let me repeat that. The number two edge rusher in this nation. Over 200 athletes have earned scholarships through Dreammakers Elite Fitness Program. Now, he'll tell you, his gift is simple, making things better. Give him the opportunity, and he makes it happen. Not for the trophy, but for the kid nobody else saw. So when we talk today about coaching, about fatherhood, about pulling a young life back from the edge, understand, you are not hearing a theory. You're hearing a man who's done the home visits, run the drills, and watch young people nobody believed in walk across a college stage instead of into a cell. I could go on and on and on talking about the extraordinary feats that this man has overcome, the extraordinary things that he's done in his life, but I'll let him tell you that. So with no further ado, it is my distinct honor to introduce to the Prison Purpose Podcast, Coach Tony B. Coach, how you doing, man?
Good. Thank you so much, Sabor. I appreciate that. Can I just add something to that?
Yes.
I don't want to overstate. I was the head coach at Chester High, 15 through 17. I was the head coach at Prep Charter High in South Philly in the Point Breeze district. When I came to that program, they had won 2 games in 6 years. And in my 4 years there, we finished starting from scratch, ninth graders, playing freshmen as ninth grade. My last year there, we were 10-0, and we went to the school's first city title game. So I didn't want to leave that out because Prep Charter was a very special place to me. And being a head coach in a city like Chester, when you deal with a lot of issues, way outside of football. I didn't want to
leave
them out
as well. Okay, and we'll get into that. But, Coach, I need you to tell the listeners, tell us a little bit about yourself and what inspired you to become a youth coach.
So, you know, as a player, I started playing football in 1979, 1980, and always had wonderful coaches that put a lot into me. I came from a single household, so my mother was at work. She couldn't take me to practice, so my coaches would always pick me up, take me to practice. And back then, it was weight requirements to play. So, you know, I was always a thick dude. So my coaches would pick me up from school, take me to the sauna, anything I needed to get me on that field. And they were always there to support me, you know, through my journey coming up. So when I was able to become a coach, I felt compelled to have to give back because someone had gave me volunteered their time and gave me that energy and gave me that love to help build the foundation and the structure of who I am now in the addition of my mother.
Oh, beautiful. So what does being a coach mean to you? Beyond teaching the game of football, what does being a coach mean?
So if you know anything about, especially youth coaches, you know, you're a father, you're a mentor, your uncle, your brother, you kind of take your psychologist, a therapist, a little bit of everybody because, you know, these kids have a lot of things going on. So, you know, I would do the same, pick up my kids, take them home, feed them, anything that it takes to give back to them, I did. And it takes a lot because you have to be very patient because every athlete and every kid has something different going on. So you have to learn to adjust to how to deal with certain kids and how to, you know, communicate with them because you have to communicate with every kid different to try to get the best out of them. That's one thing I always said I was really good at is understanding what my kids need to get the very best out of them.
Right. And so when did you realize immediately that, you know, many young athletes, they need more than just athletic instruction. When was it that you first realized that you had to be more than a coach?
Well, you know, I knew that because of how I was brought up. So
right.
I was realized at a young age that leadership, that mentorship, that voice that you might not have gotten because your father wasn't around. So I realized that early, probably, you know, before I actually stepped on the field as a coach, you know, that was the reason that I stepped on the field as a coach because I realized it was needed.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, you know, basically, you know, your experience is was like the inspiration behind you, you know, even wanting to become a youth coach and helping these kids out. But as a coach, and this next question, It's not just pertaining to a coach, but it pertains to anybody who's trying to have some type of impact in a young kid's life. All right. How do you earn their trust? Because I ask that question, Coach, because a lot of young kids nowadays, they have trust issues. And I get that. And a lot of their trust issues come from different traumas that they have experienced in their lives at such a young age. So how did you personally earn the trust of the young people you coach?
Because one, love, right? Everybody wants to be loved. And it's not just saying the word love, it's just showing them when you're picking them up, when you're waiting outside their door, when they don't have cleats, you know, you go purchase them some cleats. When they don't have water, you stop the store, you get them water. It's just showing them, you know, it's just being there as that pillow that they may necessarily not have at that time. So, you know, it's, for me, it's organic and it's natural. So it's not even like something that I really think about. It's just so natural for me to do that. But earning trust is earning through showing. Because you can say it, you can talk
right.
to them, but, you know, it's, you know, you got to show it.
Yeah, right. I know I seen one time, it was actually on social media, this coach, black coach, and he was, you know, like telling this young guy, man, I believe in you. I believe in you, man. If you leave from off this field, I'm going to have to come bury you. I'm not, you know, but if you stay here, man, I can promise you a future. Was there ever a time that you just really had to have that hardcore talk to a kid and say, listen, this may be your ticket out? You know, it's hard work, and it takes focus, and it takes dedication, and it takes all that to become great and to become somebody, not just on a football field, but in life in general. Was there ever a time where you had to look a kid in his eyes and tell him, listen, either is this for you, if you don't do this, man, and you go to the streets, man, you're going either to the jail cell or to the graveyard? Because nowadays, Coach, you can't sugarcoat nothing with these kids. You have to give it to them exactly like it is. So was there ever a time that you felt the need that you had to do that to a kid?
So it's funny you said that, because that's every time. That's
right.
The conversation that I have after every practice.
Oh,
we always
right.
talk about life. So it's not, it's like when you're in a, you know, I'm from South Philly. It's not one kid. If it's 20 kids on the team, you might be talking to 10, 15 kids. So to have that general life conversation before practice, after practice, the purpose of being here, the purpose of greatness, like what defines being great, being on time, doing the right thing, having great character, being disciplined, being respectful. So I can't say, almost 38 years of doing this, I can't define one time, because it was so many times. Because
right.
As you know, you're dealing with a mass. You have your football team, you have anywhere from 30 to 60 kids, 70 kids on your team. So you're going to have just more than one situation.
Right, right. And so I know there's a lot that goes into being a great coach and being a great mentor. But what qualities would you say make up a great mentor as well as a great coach? Because you have coaches out there right now who may be listening, and they may be great coaches, but they may not be great mentors. So if you could tell these coaches what qualities make up a great coach as well as a great mentor to the youth.
Details. Learning to be detailed. Teaching what detail means to your athletes. Every single thing counts. Everything counts. The way you walk, the way you talk, what you post on your Facebook, your Instagram, details like them explaining themselves, understanding patience too, right? One of the things about being a coach, man, you got to be patient.
Right.
Especially, you know, me, everything I've done, when I worked in the school district, I worked in turnaround schools. Turnaround schools mean they are troubled schools. When I took on jobs as head coach, the reason why they hired me as head coach was because the program was in shambles. So you have to be patient to understand, you know, my gym was called Dream Makers for a reason. It takes time to build your dream, right?
Right.
You don't just wake up in your dream. It takes time. You visualize it, you dream it, and then you work your plan through organization of how to get to the ultimate goal. So what I can tell the coaches today, one, is be patient and let the kids be kids.
You right.
know, the one thing I learned by being a young coach, and as I got older, is as a young coach, I just wanted to go, right?
Right.
Now, I look at it now, is you can go, but let the kids be kids. You don't have to train them. You don't have to coach them 5-6 days a week. They don't have to play football all year round or whatever sports. Like, let them go to – make sure they have weekends off where they can go to amusement park or they can go wherever, to the zoo, you know. So the biggest thing I can tell coaches today is to be patient and be a mentor. Don't be a peer. Kids need structure. Kids need discipline. They don't need you aligning with them. They need leadership. A lot of these young coaches – they want to allow and act just like the kid. That's not going to work in this era. You know, that's not going to, you know, I don't allow kids to use the word what to me. It's always yes coach or no coach.
Right.
I don't allow kids to say what they can't do. It's not what we can't do. It's what we got to do to get it done. So it's a
right.
lot of things that I don't allow as a coach that I can tell them that they shouldn't allow. I don't allow my parents to integrate in my practice. They stand behind the fence. I'm the coach. All eyes on me. You know, so what I can tell them is take control of your team and don't let the outside social media stuff stop you from what your ultimate goal is. The ultimate goal, here's the thing, DeBoer, the ultimate goal is not to win games, right?
Right. People,
this is the way they mess up at. Winning is going to come through perfection.
Right.
I would run the same play for an entire hour until it's right. I don't care about, because here's the thing. I'm teaching a lesson in this whole thing. It's not to just do it, but do it right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not to just rush through something and say, I did it. No, we're not going to rush through it. We're going to do it right. Don't know how many times I stopped practice, blew the whistle, because the lineman wasn't. I want 2 feet split. I go up, it's a split and a half, or it's split in 75. No, I need 2 feet. I need 24 inches.
You know right. what I'm saying?
So
right.
it's the details that make you great, period, in everything. So that's what I'm telling coaches, to be more detailed.
Be more detailed. And I think what you said, that was so profound. And that's just not coach to athlete. You said that what young coaches need, that they need, these kids need mentors. You need to be a mentor and not a peer, right? And the reason, Coach, that I say that that's so profound is because you have a lot of young parents, be it a mother or a father, that they have a peer relationship with their child instead of a parent relationship. Because nowadays, parents, they're getting younger and younger. They're getting younger. You have kids 14, 15, you know, having babies, man. And so when that child becomes 16, 17 years old and clubbing, or 20 years old and clubbing, the parent is only 35. They in the club together.
Exactly.
They talk the same language. They wear the same clothes. You know what I mean? They do everything the same. So the kid now is looking at the parent like, well, this is my peer. You know, the kids curse down in front of their parents. I mean, it's unbelievable. So what you said about, you know, being a mentor and not a peer, that is such a profound statement, and it's such good advice that, you know, parents can be given. Be a parent. Stop trying to be equal with your child. Stop trying to be a peer. And that's not all parents. But some parents, I mean, that's the reality of the community that we come from. You know, parents now, they not being parents, they're being peers. And so I appreciate that, you know, that advice there, Coach. And how do you balance? Because when you say you teach detail, a lot of people may look, and with detail comes discipline. You got to be disciplined. I played basketball growing up. And so I know when you a basketball player, you know, you have to pay attention to detail, and you have to be disciplined. Like they always say, be disciplined on your when you play defense, right? Stay down on your feet. Don't go for no shot feet. Don't go for no pump feet. Stay disciplined. Be disciplined if you're playing a zone defense, right? But how do you balance discipline with encouragement? Not just discipline on the football field or on the practice field, but discipline in life. Because a lot of kids, they look at discipline, and they don't like to be disciplined. Kids do not like discipline. You know, so, and it's a fine line, man, when you talk about disciplining the kid and, you know, this kid, like, just, man, just giving up on. I don't want, because they don't want to be disciplined. But at the same time, you're encouraging them. So how do you balance the two?
Well, that's simple. Every kid wants structure, though. So when you provide them with structure, the discipline comes within the structure. Because if you're not aligned with the structure, then you're not even on the team because you can't be disciplined. Mm-hmm. So it's the structure of the head coach that he puts things in place that you have to follow.
Right. Now,
when that structure's in place, the structure requires discipline. Because you have to be disciplined to even get through the structure of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which
right.
will carry it through the classroom, will carry it when you leave the field, because you constantly reiterate these things in their head. Structure, which makes discipline, structure. So you got to be disciplined to be structured. You got to be structured to be disciplined. So it's not that kids don't like discipline. Kids do like discipline. They like structure, but you don't home in on the discipline. You home in on the structure, and the structure creates the natural discipline. You home in on the fact of how much I love y'all and how much I tell them I love y'all, you know, and these things that I'm teaching y'all is going to help y'all be better fathers, better kids to their parents, better siblings. So kids like that, you know what I'm saying? And when your structure and your discipline and you winning, then they buy in. Kids don't buy into losing. They buy into discipline. They ain't going to buy into discipline if you 1-10, you 2-8.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like what we disciplined for? We ain't even winning no game.
Yeah. So if they're seeing results, then they don't have a problem in discipline as long as they're seeing some results.
It's a result-based business. Don't care who you are. Every kid went in line with winning. They want to wear winning jackets. They want to get championship trophies. They want to feel empowered because, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times they don't get empowered at home or in the community. So when they come to this field, they get structured, they get disciplined, and they get rewarded. So now they walk around a neighborhood with championship jackets on. So you see how it all lines together, which makes you more confident, which gives you more power, you know what I'm saying? Which makes
right.
you a better person. Because now you got confidence, discipline, structure. You're a winner. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You walk different.
Right.
You think different. Like after my games, you know, we don't even celebrate wins. We expect them to win. We celebrate championships. It's like, we're not going to run around the field after every win. Like, we're supposed to win. you know,
right.
I'm coaching, you know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
That's how to – listen, when we win – we shake hands, we huddle up, and we talk about the next game. One down, XYZ left to go. Because
right.
Everything is not a celebratory moment. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're going to clap
right.
out, good job. You know what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. We're always trying to get better every day.
Right.
And if you constantly think everything you do is great, then you're never striving for greatness. The goal is to strive
right.
for greatness. And keep climbing to achieve something. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with it.
So now, Coach, you mentioned that you don't allow the parents to really get involved with the day-to-day operation of the practice field or the game. And I've seen, and particularly in Chester, I think I've seen this, I've heard about it, and I've seen it on the news, how parents have been fighting their games, right? And a lot of parents, they look at, you know, their child is an investment. And every parent wants their child to be a professional football player, if that's a sport, professional basketball player. And if the child is not getting the appropriate amount of time, then a lot of parents, they may have some choice words for coaches. Has that ever happened to you? And if so, how did you deal with that? How do you deal with those type of parents?
So here's the thing. I don't deal with those type of parents. Those parents have to deal with me. It's a difference. Because I have a parent meeting before my season even starts.
Right.
I give out a whole itinerary of the parents, like, and they have to sign it. It's like a contract of what they can do and what they can't do. If you break a contract, what typically happens?
You fired, man.
You fired. So here's the thing. I don't have to deal with anything. I am exceptionally great at what I do.
Right.
The only thing I need you to do is bring water, be supportive, drop your kid off, stand over there and watch, sit in the car, let me do my thing. So I'm not there, you know, especially as a youth coach. I'm volunteering. The word volunteer means
right.
Right. So
right.
I give 15 minutes before practice and 15 minutes after practice. If it's not done in that 15 minutes, then I have to meet that particular parent the next day. So that's how I deal with it. Once again, structured through discipline. I'm structured on even meeting with parents, which forces them to have to be disciplined in my structure.
Right, right, right. Because, I mean,
that's how I dealt with it. I've never had any parent problems for 30-some years.
Wow.
No, because they understand. It's I don't necessarily need your child. Your child and you need me more than I need you.
Right, right.
It's not disrespectful. It's just reality. I got 60 kids I got to coach. I don't have time to be going back and forth with you. I had a parent like that at one of my previous schools. And I didn't deal with him, and the school didn't deal with him like I wanted to, so I left. I'm not doing that because I could take my talent somewhere else. You feel me?
It's about
the kids. It's not about the parents. The parents make it about them. It's not about them. It's about the kids. So when it starts being more about the parents and less about the kids, then I'm not going to deal with it at all.
Right. Okay. Right. Well, Coach, we almost out of time here for this particular segment, man. But you know, I don't want to let, man. It's amazing to hear from a coach, and you just more and I, like I said, I hate to just refer to you as a coach. Because you're so much more than the coach, right? But I appreciate the work, man, that you've done with kids, man. And so they say, man, numbers don't lie. You know, the numbers back up. You know everything that you just stated. The numbers back up the discipline. It backs up the determination and all that, man. So I thank you for joining us, Coach. And we'll be back for another segment with Coach Tony Beattie. This is the President of Purpose Podcast. Until the next time, be safe.